talk a little bit about that tonight and see some things in his life that really I hope could be in mine as I look at his faith and his trust in the Lord and his commitment to believing in Christ and then bringing his family along with him. What a wonderful testimony this passage concludes with. And so John chapter 4, and I'd like to begin reading with verse 46. I'm just going to read two or three verses to start with, and just keep your Bible open, please, and we'll be looking at some other verses here during the course of the message. John chapter 4, and beginning with verse 46. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. And when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. Now, in this message tonight, God gives to us some gracious encouragement as we see him at work during a time of difficulty and perplexity in the life of this nobleman. One of the outstanding things about this man's heart was how faith was demonstrated in the midst of a family crisis. Have you ever had a crisis in your life? Ever had a crisis in your family? And so I think we can all testify tonight and say, hey, there's been times when really I didn't know which way was up. I didn't know if I was going to get out of this thing and survive the trauma that we were going through. But here was a man who had a son who was terminally ill at the point of death, according to verse number 47. And there is nothing that will prove the value of our faith quite like a crisis. Isn't that right? If our faith cannot stand strong in the crisis, it isn't really faith. Fair weather faith will never see us through when our world collapses around us. I've often said that sooner or later every family will have to deal with a crisis. And it's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. Now if you haven't had your chance yet, just be patient. Your turn will come. The issue is how you deal with it when the time comes. Have you ever wondered how you would react to an announcement of great uncertainty or tragedy? Whether there would be great fear welling up within you or worry or anxiety? And you'll never know till you get there. No matter how many times you've seen the faith of others beautifully displayed, you will need your own experience to know how you're going to respond. In Psalms 28, verse 7, the psalmist said, The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song I will praise him. What wonderful words of encouragement and comfort from the psalmist. How our hearts are overwhelmed with peace and joy when we from our hearts are able to trust the Lord completely, no matter what the outcome might be. Sometimes when someone will go into surgery, they'll tell me, Preacher, whatever's God's will, that's what I want. And they'll say, no, if I come out of this, I'll be fine. I'll be with my loved ones here. And if I don't come out of this, I'll be with my loved ones over there. So either way, I'm a winner, you know. What a wonderful way to look at life. And if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you really can look at life like that. And no matter what kind of trial the devil puts on your path, no matter what kind of issues you may be called to go through, with faith in the Lord, you'll make it. You will make it. Now, with this in mind, let's look at an event in the life of this nobleman. Can you see the response in the life of this man? Jesus had said, you won't believe unless you see something. You're not here by faith, in essence, is what Jesus is saying to him. And perhaps this was a test that Jesus was giving this man to reveal what his heart really was like toward the Lord. After all, Jesus had been confronted by Jewish people who were constantly looking for signs and wonders. I found out one thing about our Lord. Before he works a miracle in our lives, he first of all humbles us. Have you ever noticed that? He humbles us. It is a broken and a contrite heart that God does not despise. I do not believe that this man bristled at what Jesus said. Here he's come to the Lord. My son's at the point of death. Will you come? Will you heal him? Unless you see signs and wonders, you're not going to believe. This man did not refute Jesus. There was no rebuttal. He didn't say, no, Lord, you're mistaken. I'm sure I believe. He does not argue that point with Christ at all. He simply says, sir, come down ere my child die. In other words, he's saying, now I may not be all I'm supposed to be. I may not have tremendous faith. It's sort of like the Syrophoenician woman in Matthew 15 who came and said to Christ, have mercy on me, O Lord, and she said, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And of all things, Jesus said to this woman who was in desperation, needing his help, he says to her, it's not meet to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. And that's when this lady says, yea, Lord. And I love that. In essence, she's saying, yes, Lord, I'm a dog. Yea, Lord. But she says, even the dogs eat the crumbs from their master's table. I love that. You know, some folks are so high strung that if Jesus had said to them, it's not meet to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs, they would have spun on their heels and they'd have got out of there. Well, how dare him talk to me like that? You know? But you know what? Not this woman. This woman humbled herself. And she received the blessing. Amen. When you know, the way up is down. That's the way God works. A broken and a contrite heart, O Lord, thou wilt not despise. And this nobleman is the same way. This nobleman is not going to bristle. He is not going to try to argue with the Lord. He just says, Sir, come down ere my child die. This man had a great love for his son. He knew that his son was terminal, going to die unless Jesus would help him. He had walked about 20 miles, we estimate, to see the Lord. That says something. And then he called him, sir, putting himself under the authority of Jesus, even though he himself was a man of high standing. The Bible said he was a nobleman. He was not a nobody. He had high standing in the community. And yet he comes to Jesus and he says to him, sir, a nobleman calling Jesus, sir, come down ere my child die. In other words, he's saying there's a real need. I need your help, Lord. Now look at verses 49 through 51. The nobleman said unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Here comes a servant to meet him. Your son's okay, he says. Look at verse 52. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus saith unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. I want you to notice four things, four truths about this nobleman's need here. First of all, notice the trouble that was present. This nobleman was a man of high character. He had class, he had culture, and apparently a high position in the community. He was not like the man who had an impairment for 38 years and was lying by the pool at Bethesda. He was not on the low end of the totem pole of social skills. He was not poverty-stricken economically. This man was a man of high standing, and he had heard about Jesus, and so he made his way from Capernaum to Galilee to see him and to ask him to go home with him. Did not let his position or rank in society keep him from Jesus. He went down to try to get his need met from the only one who could meet that need. Now here is what the nobleman's trouble teaches us. First of all, God does not bring trouble in our lives to punish us always. Sometimes God allows trouble to come to correct us because he loves us. Sometimes he allows troubles to come also to cause us to come to him or to draw closer to him. Trouble is designed to bring people to Jesus Christ. Now let me ask you, how many people are in this service tonight who have a problem, a difficulty, a need that you need God to help you with? Could I see your hand? You have a need that God can help you. All right. So you're here tonight and you're seeking God because there's a problem in your life or in the life of a loved one. Now, as long as everything is moving in our direction, as long as everything is progressing the way we think it should progress, what do? We usually just progress with it, don't we? And we tend to go with the flow. We rejoice that things are running so great. I must be doing all right. Everything is wonderful and glorious. Let's don't worry about the prayer meeting. Let's don't worry about seeking God. Let's don't worry about getting closer to Jesus. And the first thing you know, you're wandering off out there somewhere in the wilderness and getting into trouble. Isn't that true? And so what does God do? God allows a little trouble to come. Something maybe we can't handle on our own. And God knows that. And so he allows that trouble to come into our life. But you know, there's a lot of people tonight that's not here. And their consensus is this, you know, let's just don't worry about going to church tonight. We have plenty. We don't really need to get too serious about serving the Lord. Let's do this or that or the other. And, you know, a lot of people are more interested in a hole in one than they are the Holy One. You know that's true. And we stray away a little ways. But God, isn't God faithful? And God will let something happen. It may be something happened in your personal life. Maybe something happened to your son, to your daughter, to someone else that you love. He'll let something happen to you, to your husband, to your wife. He'll let something happen to your money. And the trouble that was present came to bring this man to Jesus. What caused him to seek Christ? The problem that was imposed on his son. You see, he couldn't cure his son. Apparently the doctors of that day could not cure his son. Now I want to say something by way of application right here. If you have a problem, you might have already filled out a prayer slip or made a prayer request tonight. There are several names on our prayer list that we went over just a few moments ago. And because you had a need, you are in the house of God tonight, many of you. You need a prayer answered. You need God to do something. And he has said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. You're here seeking God. You're humbling yourself, seeking God, turning from your sin, and praying in order that God would change some things in your life or change some things in the life of a loved one. And may I say to you tonight, you are not in a fruitless place. God answers prayer. You're not in a failing place. You're not in a faulty place. God can do for you what nobody else can do if you will look to Him and seek Him with all your heart. If your need brought you here, you don't have to take it home with you. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, Jesus said, there am I in the midst of them. And if you'll pray and believe and trust God, He'll help you with whatever problem you've got tonight. You may be here with a marriage problem. You may be here with a domestic problem. You may be here with a relationship problem. You may be here with a child problem. I want to tell you tonight, there is a God in heaven who can help you if you will only believe and trust Him. Listen, I know a lot of people that has foxhole religion, so to speak. When things are really bad, they'll pray, and then when things get good, they forget all about God. I know I've had people who walk down the aisle with great needs, and they'd tell me about them, and yet they're just so unfaithful. Many walk down the aisle, try to make a bargain with God with the intent not to follow through with that bargain. How many lies have been told on the church altar? I don't know. But I know so many people that said, Lord, I will. And when I'll be faithful, I'll pray, I'll get faithful, I'll serve faithfully. You can count on me, preacher, I'll be there. And then you can't find them with radar. Have to send the sheriff after them and still can't find them, you know. But how many times have we prayed, Lord, if you will, I will. And God does, but you don't. God keeps His word, but somehow or another we come up short. You know what's going to happen? There's going to be greater trouble. There's going to be greater trouble down the road. You know the man that was healed by the pool of Bethesda, he had been there. He'd been an invalid for 38 years. And there he was lying by the pool. Nobody to put him in the pool when the angel came down to trouble the waters. The first person in usually got healed. But he says, "The Lord, I have nobody to put me in when the angel troubles the water." And the long story short, Jesus healed that man right there by the pool of Bethesda. Been infirm for 38 years. I don't know how old he was. I know he was infirm for 38 years. But the point is this. John 5:14, Jesus later found him in the temple and said this to him. Now don't miss this. Jesus has already healed him. But Jesus found him in the temple and said, "Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee." Now you've experienced the blessings of the Lord one time, but if you go back into your sin, it's going to be worse. It's going to be worse than you than it was when you were lying out there by the pool of Bethesda. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Now you see, your trouble will escalate in the attempt of God to draw you unto Himself. If you're already seeking God because of your trouble, you ought to give Him praise and glory tonight and rejoice in that. Because that's the first lesson in God sending trouble. He wants you to draw close to Him. The second, notice the truth that was presented. There was a trouble that was present. God brought trouble into that situation to bring triumph. Jesus said, "You're looking for signs and wonders." But Jesus wanted to get past the signs and wonders to a thing called faith. Jesus wanted this man to trust Him, to have faith that everything was going to be all right. Everybody, it seemed, was not wanting Jesus necessarily in their lives. They wanted to see Him do great and wonderful and mighty things, marvelous, great display. I mean, they wanted every time they're around Jesus for it to be like a three-ring circus, just everybody oohing and aahing and wonderful, miraculous things. But God's not looking for people to just be entertained by sovereign power. He's looking for people who will believe in Him and commit themselves to Him and trust Him to be all they need. God is not all that interested in signs and wonders, as is evidenced by His response to this nobleman. We are living in a day when signs and wonders are being sought after. And just a little footnote here. When Jesus healed that afflicted man by the pool of Bethesda, he got stronger. He got up and started walking. He didn't pass out. Amen. Amen. You know, let me just get a little bit vain for a moment. If I were to invite Benny Hinn to come here, I say, when this coming Friday night, we're going to have Benny Hinn to come in here and have a healing service. I promise you, this auditorium would not seat the folks that would come out to hear Benny Hinn from the Wilmington area here. There'd be so many people coming to hear and coming to watch and coming to see and to want to experience the tingle of emotional excitement. Jesus is saying, except you see and experience the tingle from seeing the signs and the wonders, you won't believe. Just bare faith bothers you. I want to tell you tonight, I got saved by a crucified, bloody Savior who died on a bloody cross, who died to set me free. I don't have to see anything. I did have to believe. And I do believe that God heals and God answers prayer, but we ought to have faith in God whether we see the signs or not. Amen. This nobleman didn't see any sign, but he believed. Amen? God wants you and me to trust Him. Question. Are you looking for the miraculous? Are you looking for the signs and the wonders to the point that you're missing out on the simplicity of salvation that God wants to give you through simple faith in Him? And so notice not only the trouble that was present, but the truth that was presented, but also the test that was prepared. He said, "Sir, come down ere my son die." Jesus simply said, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." Now most people would still be there arguing. "Christ, you've got to come with me. I was there. I got him all the help I could get him. And he's no better. He's dying. I had no answer for him. I had no remedy for him. And I'm not going to go back with just your word. No, you've got to come and go with me." Can you hear the argument? But the nobleman did not say that. Here was a test prepared for him. In verse 50, the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him. He passed the test that Jesus gave. You'll notice the truths. Number one, trouble comes not to punish you sometimes, but to draw you. Secondly, God is not interested in seeing a miracle. He's interested in you becoming a miracle. And thirdly, in the test that is prepared, God is more interested in faith in the heart than He is in the strength of the flesh. God is concerned about your body and your health. But there is coming a day when old age is going to overtake all of us, and we will be laid in the ground for the worms to eat up and our flesh return to dust. But there is a soul in man that can be born again by grace through faith. And that soul that on Jesus doth lean for repose, he will never, no, never desert to his foes. We are going to leave out of here by the grace of God and go home one day to be with Jesus. Hallelujah. Paul said, "Absent from the body, present with the Lord." How can you complain about that? Amen. I mean, your soul is far more important than your body in the eyes of God. Amen. And so if a little affliction will get you to seek the Lord and get things right with God, then those afflictions have accomplished their mission in getting you to look and to seek the Lord. Then notice the trust that was personal here. Verse 53, "So the father knew that it was the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house." Now watch this. Jesus had said, verse 50, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." The man believed what Jesus said. And the proof of that belief is seen in the fact that the nobleman didn't go home right away. He spent the night. Because the Bible said it's the next day that he meets his servant who tells him that his son is living and doing well. And when the nobleman asked what hour was it that he began to amend, he said, "Yesterday, at the seventh hour, his fever left him." So, verse 53, the Father knew that it was the same hour that Jesus had spoken. Notice how his faith grew. First, he believed in Jesus enough to ask him to come and heal his son. Secondly, he believed Jesus' word that his son would live, and he acted on that. Thirdly, he and his whole house believed. His faith kept growing as he believed Jesus more and more and trusted him and acted on his word by faith. Greater things happened all along. And sometimes we don't understand how it will work out. But if we will just have faith enough to trust God, to humble ourselves, and trust Him and believe in Him, He will make it work out. There is a personal trust that was involved. And so himself believed in verse 53, and also his whole house believed. Now, what's the difference in the belief of verse 50 and the belief in verse 53? In verse 50, the belief was in that Jesus, in what Jesus could do for his son. In verse 53, the belief was what Jesus can do for him and his family. You see, here he's not believing for his son. He's believing for himself. Amen? Now here's the thought. You can be all wrapped up in something and not be part of it. You can be all involved in believing with your head, and it never get past your head to your heart. Paul said, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and then with the mouth confession is made to salvation. This nobleman believed himself, not just for his son. Now what have we learned? Trouble came because God was trying to get to me through my trouble. How many people came to this church and stayed because you were hurting? And somehow you needed help because your heart was broken. Maybe your marriage is failing, you're in financial trouble, needed help for your children. And then as a result of seeking help, you found the Lord yourself and your family found God. Anything that brings you to Jesus, you ought to thank God for it. Amen. It may have been hard. It may have been painful. It may have been nerve-wracking. But look where it took you. If you're saved tonight, if your name's written in heaven, and you've been born again, washed in the blood of Jesus, I believe God wants every person and every family saved. And he will cause circumstances to happen that will help to make that possible. Not a one of us wishes to be sick. But sometimes as a result of sickness, people are saved. Christians are drawn closer. Sometimes through sickness, sometimes through problems, we learned the value of intercessory prayer. This son needed a father who prayed for him and got in touch with Jesus for him. And this whole family may never have been saved had this son not gotten sick, causing the father to seek Jesus for help. We're looking for a God who can do it all, aren't we? Amen. It's personal. Each one must respond for himself in belief. I believe tonight you can get baptized and miss heaven. You can come and hear me preach and still miss the rapture. Why is that? Because trust and belief and commitment to Christ must be a personal thing. It's not something you do because somebody else does it. It's not something you do to get your name on the church book. It's something you do to get your name in the Lamb's book, amen? But it takes a personal belief and trust and commitment to Jesus Christ in order to be born again, in order to be saved. It's one thing to believe for others. It's quite another to believe for yourself. This man was saved and his house, and isn't that a wonderful thing tonight? Amen? Amen. Even in the valley, God is good. Amen? Our choir sings that song. John, I want you to sing it again, Four Long. I like that song. Even in the valley, he is faithful and true. And I want to say to you tonight, with Jesus in your life and in your heart, you may go through some hard knocks. You may go down through the valley. But I promise you, he'll be with you, and he'll be faithful to you, and he'll be true. He'll bring his children through just like he said he would. He's wonderful. He's glorious. He's the mighty God. Even in the valley, God is good. Keep your eyes on him. Don't ever take your eyes off the Lord. Peter found out that if he keep his eyes on the Lord, he could walk on water. Amen. You can do some impossible things, things you never thought you could do if you just keep your eyes on the Lord. He wants to lead you in the way everlasting. He wants to take you to heaven one day. Tonight, if you're here and you've never exercised that personal belief in Jesus Christ, if you've never received him as your Lord and as your Savior, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that in just a moment. Everybody Jesus ever called, he called publicly, and I believe he wants us to not be ashamed of him, to be willing to confess him before men. He says, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. And so tonight, would you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior? Would you trust him to be your Lord? Would you trust him in the great journey of life to help and to meet your need when these problems arise? This nobleman would have lost a son in death. This nobleman would have lost a family. Lost. I'm talking about spiritually. But when he came to Jesus, he was able through faith and trust in the Lord to see his son healed and his family saved. What a wonderful outcome. What a wonderful result from seeking the Lord. If you're here tonight seeking God, we invite you to come. Confess him as Lord and Savior. Receive him into your heart. Ask him to forgive your sins and to be your Savior. I promise you he will. He will save you tonight if you will ask him. Let's stand to our feet. John's coming to sing a song of invitation. There's nothing between my soul and the Savior, 464. But tonight, as you stand and as you sing, if the Lord has spoken to your heart, I want you to step out and come forward. And we'll take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're saved. Would you come tonight as we sing? Father, in Jesus' name, bless the invitation. Holy Spirit of God, speak to that soul that needs you tonight. I don't know what the problems are that our people are facing. I know there are many needs throughout this congregation, the greatest of which is salvation. If there's one here lost tonight, I pray they'll come. And others may want to come and pray around the altar. Whatever the needs might be, we ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would direct this invitation and draw people to the foot of the cross.